Sweating Up, and Nick, this is the Holy Trinity High Podcast. Welcome to 2023 on this lovely Tuesday night as I'm recording this. I had to give myself like a few hours kind of get ready for the review of the national championship that happened last night, which was a domination effort by the Georgia Bulldogs over TCU. I will give a little more hindsight into that in a second. First of all, happy new year to all my subscribers and listeners that's been following the Holy City High. So shout out to you guys. Appreciate you. I haven't done the episode in a hot minute. I've been in school and school's been whipping my ass. But guess what? I'm back here now and I will be consistent with this. So stay tuned. This is going to be a sports episode. So if not looking for sports, then I'll say skip this episode and check me out in the next one, which I'll probably have later this week sometime. But we're going to review on this episode today. We're going to talk pretty much the national championship game in addition to the whole playoff and just a review of the bowl season and college football in general. I would give my takes on kind of like the playoff moving forward. I know this next upcoming year is kind of the last year of the four team as it will expand to 12. I give my early top 10 rankings for next season of college and just some hindsight moving forward with the sport as a whole. It's the NFL wildcard weekend. I'll probably do a website dedicated to, episode dedicated to that later in the week as we get closer to the games this weekend. So stay tuned for that later on in the week. But we're going to focus on the game at hand. First, big shout out to Nikki, Rob, Lindsay, Macy, and whoever I'm forgetting. They're big Georgia fans, at least in my friend group. You win your back-to-back second straight national championship back-to-back over 65-7. Georgia over TCU. Takes on this game, man. So, first of all, shout out to Gus and shout out to B-Fresh, boys from West Florence. I went to high school with, played football with. Not a heated debate with them over on Facebook today, but kind of like just a two strong points arguments. I will get into that a little later. So I'm going to tag you guys when I post this so they can listen to this podcast and, you know, make their kind of arguments through social media, I would assume. Or leave me a voicemail on this podcast. I'll answer it. You know, how my ideas from anyone or my opinions. But this game was a complete mismatch. Like I said, the final score was 65-7. Georgia dominated this game from the starting. You kind of saw it on the very first play, too. I think it was a penalty on the first play. I think it was a false start. But you saw, like, Jaden Carr just drive TCU's offensive line back, like, 5 yards. I think it was the center, if I remember right. It was pretty clear cut, man, and you kind of knew it too. Like, you just knew that, you know, TCU probably needs some luck to stay close. Look, I had no clue that this game was going to be 65-7. I think no one thought. I was thinking 35-17. I think it was the score I predicted prior. Spread was 13.5. I took the spread. I took Georgia to cover. I was correct on that, clearly. But you look at, I got some of these stats right here for me. And look, total yards, 589, 188 to TCU. Georgia had 32 first downs. TCU only had 9. 335 yards in the air, 254 yards on the ground by Georgia. TCU had 36. Just giving you kind of comparison, TCU had 250 yards rushing against Michigan, which was supposed to be a top five defense also. So it kind of just shows you there the physicality and the strength that Georgia had just clearly over TCU. Most people assume, or you hear at least in the major sports outlets, that pretty much national championship was between Ohio State and Georgia back in Atlanta. And with how that game happened Monday, it's kind of hard to not argue against that. Look, man, there's three schools that are just on a different talent level than the rest of the college football world, and that's Georgia, Alabama, and probably Ohio State. They're in a class. You can make some arguments for maybe a few others. I think LSU will probably come up. I'll still hold off LSU for at least the last 3 or 4 years. I know that 2019 championship wasn't that long ago, but I don't know. That season was just a crazy season. You had, like, just a crazy amount of talent on that team. But in the present moment, those are the three teams I feel that are just leaps and bounds above everybody else at the present moment. Right now, the big debate that's going on all the major sports outlets is, has Georgia overtaken Alabama as the premier college football team in the nation? Argument with that will be probably, I would agree with that. I don't think Georgia's the dynasty yet. I think to be in terms of a dynasty, you have to, I think they need to at least win one more championship in the next like 2 or 3 years. Back-to-back is impressive. They're the only team to do it in the college football playoff era. The last team to do it, which was back in the BCS era, was Alabama 2011-2012. 2011 was over LSU in the rematch. Then the second one was over Notre Dame, which was a blowout also. Going back to the game, I think it was just clear evident, man. Like, Georgia just was just like, I was looking at their tight ends. Georgia's tight ends were massively bigger than TCU's defense a lot. So that kind of just give you hindsight that, like, you know, Georgia defense line dominated TCU's offense. Gonna block them. Max Duggins, who was the TCU quarterback, was just constantly on the pressure. Seth Bennett looks like a damn Hall of Famer. I think he counted for 6 touchdowns. He scored the first rushing touchdown, 24-yard scampered. I posted on my story on Instagram that early in the week, it was 9.5 yards over-under for rushing yards for Stetson Bennett. I was like, take that, because that's going to be crazy. Even if you took a later, which I think it went up to 17.5, it covered. I think he ended up with like 39 yards rushing. So that was a good, quick little prop bet. And I think Georgia almost nailed almost every prop bet that you could imagine, at least on the offensive side. Maybe even defense, because they had like a pick too. Now, here's my argument when I mentioned my boy Gus and Fresh, and especially with Gus. Fresh was kind of neutral on this. But the argument was like, okay, he was like, Alabama should have been in this playoff. And he's not making this argument. A lot of people are making this argument that Alabama should have been in this playoff. And my argument was like, no, the two teams that played in the national championship tonight were the two teams who deserved to be in it. I won't push back on that. I'm 10 toes down on it. I do believe that TCU should be in the game. I didn't think TCU was going to win it. That's a different story. I just think that TCU did everything they needed to do on their side to get to it. And I'm sorry, they beat Michigan, who was your number two team in the country. So I don't know how you want to, because if Michigan was in this game, it was going to be a blowout also, at least in my belief. I just don't understand that argument, people. My boy Gus' argument was that Bama had the best roster, the best athlete. Now, I never argue against that. Bama's probably the number either 2 or 3 most talented team in college football. You can argue between Ohio State and Bama. I'd probably go a little bit to Alabama, especially on the lines, offensive line, defensive line. I just don't but my argument is that if you're going to have that kind of argument where you think, oh, it's always going to be talented, what's the purpose of playing the regular season in college football? Like, you know, I'm sorry, Alabama lost 2 games, and his kind of argument was like, well, they play a stronger schedule, which I still debate that they play a tougher schedule. But they play a strong schedule, but I don't know if it's the toughest schedule in the country. At least that was Gus' argument. And they only lost on 2 plays. Lost on 2-point conversion with LSU, then like a last-minute touchdown against Tennessee. But I'm just like, okay, so what? That's the results of the game. Your results of the game is that they lost. No matter how you lost, I know it sometimes can be controversial, especially if it's like it's nitpicking between two teams. But I think it was clearly evident that, hey, you lost 2 games. You didn't win. Like, how lucky the LSU-Alabama game was, hey, that was essentially a playoff game for Alabama or LSU, because that was essentially the division title game to go play the SEC championship, and Alabama lost it. And that's just clear cut dry. After that, your best win arguably was probably either Texas or Ole Miss that was overly ranked at the time they played, who went out and lost, I think, the last four or five games. I know Alabama dominated Kansas State, who was also the Big 12 champion, and Georgia dominated the runner-up. But you had your opportunity to get in the playoff. Same with Tennessee. I feel like Tennessee had the bigger argument, honestly, because if Tennessee didn't lose to South Carolina, they would have been in the playoff. It would have been Ohio State. It would have been Tennessee-Georgia rematch, potentially. You can make an argument for. I just don't understand, like, you know, who you send to the draft and your production on the field. Like, if you're going to have four or five-star talent, then your expectation is you should win your games. You know, if you didn't lose those two games, or at least won one of those two losses that you had, you would have been in the playoffs. So, I'm 10 toes down on that. The four teams that made the playoffs this year are the four teams that deserve it. I will say that the big SEC was, I don't know if I would say they're the best conference. I say the elite schools were the best teams, especially that top four. I say Georgia, Bama, Tennessee, and LSU. Because after you get past those four, there's a pretty big drop off for the rest of that conference as far as like quality of teams. The SEC did go 7-5 in bowl games, but it's kind of hard to read bowl games this year with so many op outs. And moving forward, that's going to just be the issues. I can't really take that with salt. Also, you also had some of your teams lose. With South Carolina being the highest ranked team to lose, Kentucky getting blown out by the worst possible offense in the Power Five, maybe, with Iowa. So I don't really understand that argument. I know TCU got beat 65-7, but hey, they beat the number two team. When they were underdog against that team too, so I don't really know what to say, what else to say more with that. You know, so this is my thoughts. If you want a counter argument, you can leave a voice message through the link that's provided in the description, and I'll answer in the next episode. Cause I'm that kind of guy. You know, I like to listen to opposite opinions, you know, perspectives. These are just my thoughts, my beliefs, and more often than not, I'm right on my own beliefs. Now, overall, I do a pick 'em, the ESPN Bowl Challenge. I'm going to go over that. I actually didn't do bad with the money line picks. I went 26-17. That put me into the 91 percentile. With the spread picks, I was 19-23. So not as good. That was in the 61 percentile. So overall, it was pretty good, solid. Most of the games did kind of go how it go. There were some upsets or of teams. I think the biggest one was probably Tulane coming back to beat SC. So that wasn't too crazy surprising, but because that Southern Cal defense is horrible. I think they addressed that through recruiting for the upcoming year. I guess we see more so with that. I ain't going to keep it too much longer. I am going to talk real quick about the next two things being future college football expansion, which we still have one more year. This is the last year, or the 2023 season would be the last year of four teams. After that would be the 12-team playoff, which I guess everybody can't wait because there was a 12-team playoff this year. Teams like Kansas State, Alabama, Utah, Washington would have made it, or at least have a shot to play for a national championship. And I think that's kind of the big argument with college football this year is that it's just needed to have more. Like, you will just pay to see more of these games. You have less players opting out, more attention, more money, more focus. If college football is really going to get serious about challenging the NFL as the premier stuff, I think, you have to be more inclusive who can participate. Personally, I think if college football really was serious about this, they will leave the NCAA, form their own kind of like sub league, and have a chairman. I think the pride of conferences are not going to do it because the Big Ten and the SEC do not like each other, and those two will have to cooperate more so than anybody for the other conferences to get on board. Because if those two don't do it, it's never going to get done. Those are just my personal opinions on it. But moving forward, I would be excited for 12 teams. Let's also give some of these smaller schools that would never have a shot at a national title, or at least participate in the exposure that a playoff brings for your school, to have a shot. You know, to me, in the group of five, the Americans, it's supposed to be the premier, but I think the Sun Belt Conference is going to be the best group of five conference moving forward over the next, I think, decade, solely because, you know, I believe that when you have winning culture as a program, regardless of like winning natties, that builds an expectation and a standard. And Sun Belt does have a lot of schools, such as like Coastal, Appalachian State, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, that, you know, between those schools, I think, you know, one of those schools is going to have a really good year. And maybe get upset, you know, just get some exposures, get some recruits. They'll be like, hey, you can go play here. And, you know, worst case, you can develop here and have a shot at a major Power 5 team down the road. We shall see, you know. But with that, I'm in on giving you my way too early top 10 for the 2023 season. It's going to be a little, not too crazy. I didn't really go kind of out the wire. This may be one thing, and some people are going to say, well, I choose this team because you're a fan. So be it. But I think also just their performance in the field dictates it. But I'm going to run down with it. Started with number one being Georgia. As a preseason, back-to-back national champions, they do that right. One thing with Georgia is that they are, I don't believe that the way that roster is built, that they're reliant on the quarterback. So I know Stetson Bennett is leaving, but I believe that, I'm not even sure who's the backup, who's going to be filling that role, but whoever it is going to be able to do, because that roster is stacked. I mean, they're 3-4s. Are going to be future NFL draft picks 2 or 3 years down the road. So, number two, Ohio State. Kind of same nature, I think, with that the system they have in place and the conference they play in, I really don't see anyone really threatening them until they get to the playoff. Three, Michigan. Four, Bama. Five, Penn State. Six, Southern Cal. Seven, Florida State, which is the team I was mentioned earlier that. But I'm high on FSU. I'm a no Seminole fan for my listeners that don't know. So you can say there's a little bias in them, but I think their performance dictates they're deserving probably a top 10 team in the preseason next year. Number eight is LSU. It's the team they also open the season next year against. Number nine, Tennessee. Number 10, Washington. That's my top 10. I know Clemson fans be like, where's the Tigers at? I was like, well, y'all got some question marks you got to figure out, man. But same with South Carolina. South Carolina, y'all be a top 25 team. I'm not definitely not a top 10. Not to start the season. I know Spencer Rattler announced that he was coming back, so that's a big gas up for you. And you also, this past recruit class was some of the best players in the state of South Carolina's class. So that was a good overall class. I think Shane Beamer is doing a good job. Now you just got to see the results on the field. Can continue. What's that? I don't think Clemson would be as bad next year. I look at their schedule too, and their schedule probably dictated they should win enough, at least minimal 19 games. The ACC is getting rid of divisions next year, so the top two teams will go to Charlotte to play in the ACC championship, and it would be awesome to see Florida State and Clemson with everything on the line. At least those would be my top two picks. Some people might be high on Miami, but like I said, always, we're still waiting on you to be back. We're going over about 2 decades with that. But with that being said, guys, the first episode, I appreciate you listening to me. If you haven't, please subscribe to me on all major podcast platforms, including Spotify and Apple and iHeartRadio. In addition to it, please give me a follow on all my social media accounts, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. With that being said, I'll have some episodes dropping later, not necessarily sports related. A little variety of everything. But once again, man, I appreciate you guys. It's your boy Nappy Nick, and we out. Just Holy City High Podcast.